for coming, everybody. Good evening. Thanks for joining us for some Torah from Pre-Pesach Torah. And I do want to thank, hopefully we'll have some Pre-Pesach chillin soon. It'll warm a little. Shem, with a Torah, we'll warm it up. Mirtzah Shem. But I do want to thank my friends, Andrew Newman, Avraham Ben Zakein, and Andy Kamiker for sponsoring. Thank you very much. And the Torah that we learned should be a zechus for all the neshamas. And also, it should be inspirational. We shall have wonderful Chag Kasher v'Sameach. Okay, so we're going to start with the Parsha, and we'll get to the Haggadah. Maybe we'll pause in between. So the one thing I want to talk about in the Parsha this week is the Karban Todah. And that is actually relevant to Pesach. It has relevance to Pesach. Why? Why is that? So Chametz and Matzah are generally relevant, as we know them, from the Pesach story, from Pesach and the prohibition against eating chametz, and how the Jews left in a hurry and they didn't have time for their dough to rise, etc. But there's also a relevance to chametz and matzah in the Beis Hamikdash, that all there were many different karbanot in the Beis Hamikdash, which also involved flour, right? A karban mincha is a flour karban, it involves flour. And also, there are other karbanot which had both, had animals and also flour. Now, most of the time, you could say 99% of the time, if there was a flour karban in the Beis Hamikdash, it had to be matzah. It had to be matzah. For 99% of karbanos, you were not allowed to have leavened bread.
Why?
That's a good question. That's what I want to talk about a little bit. Good question. Why? It's not 100% clear. Torah doesn't tell us why. I'm going to provide maybe an answer to that. There were two exceptions. Anybody know the two exceptions? There are two offerings in the temple that involved chametz. How's it going? Take a source sheet. If more people come, I think the chillin will heat up more quickly, you know? So this is good. This is good. The energy in the room is going to heat up that chillin, I'm telling you. So, there are two karbanos from the Mikdash that did allow for chametz. One is the Shnei HaLechem on Shavuot. The Shnei HaLechem on Shavuot means that on Shavuot there was also a karban which involved the pairing of animal offering and bread or flour, and that had chametz in it. The Shnei HaLechem were chametz. Two loaves of bread that... The bread wasn't offered on the altar. You took a pinch of the flour, you put that on the altar, but there were two loaves of bread, and that was chametz. That was leavened dough. And then there's one more karban that also involved bread, and that was the karban todah. The karban todah was a Thanksgiving offering offered generally if a person was in a life-threatening situation and they were saved. There is a karban that you brought to the Beis Hamikdash. It was a shlamim, it was a peace offering, but that peace offering was also accompanied by lachmei todah. Lachmei todah were the breads of the todah offering. They included both chametz and matzah. So the question is, why? Why, if 98, usually we say, in this week's parasha, we say, lo te'afeh chametz. Chalkam no tati osat mishai. Flour offerings in the Mikdash are not chametz. The lechem apanim. The lechem apanim, the showbread on the shulchan, was matzah. Believe it or not, it was matzah. It was not fully leavened bread. So why, of all the different karbanot, were these two specifically involve chametz? And more particularly, why is the karban todah not only involve chametz, but also matzah? So I'd like to present, you know, this is a nice way of tying in the Parsha to Pesach. You know, I got to talk about both. So I'd like to present a few different options. The first thing I like to say about the Karban Torah is in that Siv, in source number one. It's a well-known in Siv. Again, I apologize, it's not translated, but I will read it slowly. And this is an awesome in Siv. This is like a go-to Dvar Torah. If you ever have a Simcha, add a Simcha, need to share a Dvar Torah, this in Siv is gold. You have to know this in Siv. It's in Tali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin says as follows: Al chalot lechem chametz yakev karbanot. Source one. He says, what the Torah says rather, that you should offer your sacrifice upon leavened bread. He says, Mashma etam mikra de tachlas karban hu chalos lechem chametz. It sounds like the purpose of the karban is the bread, the leavened bread. Why? Umishum ze mefarish od hamikra al zevach todat shlamav. Mishamachi lechem chomet to ikr mishum shu zevach torat shlamav. It sounds like al zevach torat shlamav means that you're bringing a karban as a todat shlamav, as a thanksgiving offering. It sounds like the Nativ is claiming the main part of the karban is the chametz, is the bread, and it's why is that the main part? Because you're giving thanksgiving to Hashem. V'inyan, the tachlis Torah, the purpose of the thanksgiving offering is sheba al hanis. Why do you bring a thanksgiving offering? Very simple. It's lesaper. It's to tell over, to share the kindness of God that was bestowed upon you. A person went on a long voyage. It was treacherous. There was a storm. And then, thank God, they make it back safely. They give a thanksgiving offering. But what do you do after you experience that? What do you do? So you'll say you give a karban. Is that all you do? Because who's the karban for? If the karban's only for you, that's a limited. That's a limited celebration. But the Torah wants you to share what happened to you with others. And therefore, umitam zeh riba hakasa belechem umi bizmana chilas tona mikol shamim. The Thanksgiving offering had 50 different pieces of bread. A ton of bread. And not just that, there's a ton of bread offered with this karban, and it reduced the amount of time you had to eat it. Usually, a peace-giving offering, a shlomim offering, you have 2 days and a night to eat it. Right? Here you only have one. Why is that? Why do you have less time? Why? Hainu kidei sheyia mar bereim lesuda achas biyom hakrava. If you only have 1 day and one night, and after that time period, it all goes to waste, you can't eat all that yourself, so what are you going to do? Invite others. You're going to invite others so you can share the miracle that happened to you with them. Via Sipur HaNes Le'Rov HaNashim. And you'll tell over the miracle to all sorts of people. V'arba chalos l'konim she'nehema tamei chachamim. You gave 4 to the Kohanim who are tamei chachamim. V'ikein ikar achil hu lechem chametz. The main thing you're eating is chametz. Why? And this is interesting. This is very interesting to consider because it's not so clear. What's the symbolism of chametz? What's the symbolism of matzah? What's better? Matzah or chametz? What's better? What's better?
What tastes better?
Matzah is pure. Okay, so Ralph is very spiritual. My friend Ralph over here is a very spiritual man. So he thinks, matzah is pure. But those of us who are not on Ralph's level would say, chametz tastes better. I mean, come on. I mean, it's a fully... Exactly. Well, this is of all very good point. There's a lot to say about it. That's why it's lechem oni. It has no additives, nothing extra. It's just the basics. Good. But so the Tzibur says, chametz is better. Of course. The matzu lechem oni. Matzah is the better of affliction. It's not the best. They don't nechem yafek. Mo chametz. It doesn't digest as well as chametz. He quotes the Tosfos. It says this. You could, but it's not. No, you didn't add anything to a carbon the base of Mikdash. Behind the Messiah, Tom Shalecha Chametz. You're thanking Hashem, so you want to have chametz. When you thank Hashem, you want to have the best food. But I love this idea from the Nitziv. The main point I think of the Nitziv is that why does the Torah give you so much bread to eat and limit the amount of time that you eat it, so that you are obligated, almost compelled, to invite others to share in your celebration? Because that's the way to celebrate something. You don't just keep it to yourself. Tell everybody else and tell them that the kindness God has bestowed upon you. That's idea number one of the Nitziv. I love that Nitziv. And you can use it, keep it in your pocket for any simcha. It's always great. Okay. It's a similar idea. Yeah, carbon torta. Exactly. Good. Source number 2, Maharal and Tiferes Yisrael. This is a little bit more deeper, a little more profound, but I also really like this. The Maharal is actually commenting on something very interesting. There's a Gemara that talks about how wonderful it is to be misameach chatan v'kala, to add joy to a bride and groom celebrating a wedding. And one comment made here is by Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo says that anybody who helps to increase the celebration of the chatan and kala as if they brought a karban toda. Of all things, why is it if you brought a karban toda? So now he explains. Be or zeh. Here is the explanation of this. Ki atoda hu sheyesh bo chametz u'matza. Karban toda is the only karban that has both chametz and matzah in it. It's got both. Ve'ein lecha karban sheyesh bo chametz u'matza kamo karban zeh. There is no other karban that has both chametz and matzah in it. Okay, you'll tell me you don't actually bring the bread on the Mizbeach. That's okay, it's still part of the carbon. Fine. And he says, Lachin Amru, and they say in the Medrash, Kol har karbanos yu betelim le'atid. All of the other sacrifices, the Medrash says, will become nullified in the future. Chutz mi karban toda. Except for the toda offering. Why? The carbon toda includes two things which are polar opposites. Polar opposites. Chametz and matzah are polar opposites. Now the Maharal doesn't in this passage explain what the main difference is and what they each symbolize, but they are opposite. There's chametz and there's matzah. And yet they're all both in one carbon. Right? Leodia. He kol ha-kochod asher hei mechulakim ha-kol elav yitbarach. Right? All the different forces, even the two most polar opposites, they all come from God. Even polar opposites come from Hashem. That's the message of the Karban Torah. But davar zeh roi shiya karban, kasher naseh lo nes, v'hitzeh lo tzom na'amitza. When a person is bringing a karban and a miracle happened to him, Hashem saved him from death. By giving this karban, a person admits and acknowledges that we are of God. That God owns us in a sense because He saved us. Not just that this person says, I am of God. Hashem is my creator and my owner, and everything is from Hashem. Right? By saying that, bringing both the chametz and matzah, you're saying that all the different forces in the world all come from God, even those that are opposite. And I think I would add that when a person who is just saved can see this very clearly, right? A person who is just saved, what happened to them? They went through a very challenging time, their life was threatened, and then they were saved. And the deepest thanksgiving is to say both the trial and the salvation all came from Hashem. Because everything comes from Hashem. To see it all as, in some way, God's ultimate willpower. That's the Karban Torah, as matzah and chametz. And he adds, why the chasen and kala? Very interesting. He says, therefore, somebody who gladdens the chasen and kala brings the Karban Torah. Why? He says, men and women are very different. They're mitziyut mechlokim. Two very different beings. There's men and women, and they combine. And they unite when they're married. And therefore, it's as if you brought a karban todah by celebrating this simcha, this joy of the uniting of two, I guess you could say opposites, the female and the male, to become one. That's the simcha of the karban todah, because everything comes from Hashem. Beautiful. A little bit more mystical, but that's the Maharal. I want to share a third idea from Yoel Bin Nun. So Rabbi Dr. Yoel Bin Nun is a very well-known Bible scholar in Israel. Very well known, one of the world experts. And I discovered on Safaria this afternoon that he has a very interesting sefer. And he makes a comment about the meaning based on various things in Tanakh about chametz of matzah, the greater symbolism of what they represent. And he's analyzing all these different things that we've been talking about. And so here's what he says. I did translate that first paragraph for you. And I'll sort of say it outside. You can read the English translation. He says, chametz and matzah are the opposite in this. What is chametz? What's chametz? Chametz is when, right, you're baking bread. So you put the dough together, you put the yeast in the dough, and you're kneading it, and you're going through that process, and then you put it in the oven, and if you've ever tried, or whatever, actually, before you put it in the oven, if you ever baked bread, not that I have, but I've watched my wife try to do it, and from what I understand, you're waiting for it, and you're hoping it rises, and you're hoping it rises, and hoping it rises, and if you get it right, it actually rises, and you know, it's a whole long process. That's chametz. So chametz represents the ability to wait and enjoy the full process, right? The full process. That's chametz. What does a farmer want? All these things. The farmer wants to be able to take his wheat and enjoy a completed loaf of bread that went through the whole process, that rise, that was all everything that goes into making bread, right? All like the first whole part of Shabbos is all about making bread. Good. What's matzah? Matzah represents when you can't do the whole way. It represents stopping a process, right? The natural process of bread is to let it leave in, is to let that chemical process come to fruition and to come to a climax and to finish, and you stop it. You stop that process from happening and you make it matzah. So in a sense, what he actually says is something very interesting. Chametz represents sort of a humility. It represents humility. It represents saying that I can't expect always a full process. So that's why someone who brings a carbon to Hashem, he says, why do you never bring chametz? Because chametz means I want the whole thing. I want everything. I want the full completed process. A person bringing a carbon to Hashem is saying, who am I? You know, I'm nobody. I'm just like essentially humbling myself before God. So you bring matzah. I don't need the whole process. I don't need that much. I just want the poor man's bread. I'm okay with just a little bit. Chametz is more than that. So first he says, why then for a karban todah do you bring chametz? Because a karban todah is when you're feeling like God took care of me. Hashem saved me. He saved me from this distress. You want to celebrate. And that's why specifically you take chametz. So he says a karban todah, if you take a look at this, if you turn the page, this little paragraph here, neged, karban todah mevi adam shahaya batzara v'nosha mimena. A person brings a karban todah when he was in distress and saved from it. Akein be'et yeshuato ra'i shiyeh karbano gam chalot chametz gam chalot matzah. There is chametz loaves and matzah loaves. K'neged ha'matsuya mitzuka shabaya shoroi, corresponding to the distress, the trying situation that he was in. K'neged zakato batzarlo, corresponding to his crying out to God when he was in distress. And also corresponding to the process of his redemption from that narrow strait to expansiveness and relief. Hachamitz k'neged sof yeshuato v'shuato v'shava. Chametz is at the end of the day, he was saved, and now he's in tranquility, and now he's in peace. That's the chametz part of the karban. Bitor the siyam adera. Right? So the matzah part is representative of the first part, the trouble, the tzara. And chametz is representative of the end of it. So now it brings, so back to your question. Why don't we generally have chametz? Chametz is representative of, you know, the good life. Chametz is when everything is good. You get to wait for the entire bread to finish. We don't usually want that when you bring a karban. It's about humility. When you're saved, when Hashem saves you from Tzara, you bring the chametz representative of the tranquility you now enjoy. So here's the beautiful point. The beautiful point that he says here, okay? Why don't we eat chametz on Pesach? You would think, he says, when the Jews were redeemed, they left Mitzrayim, and they ate matzah. But why? Based on what he's saying, chametz is when you're good, when you're feeling good, when God saved you, when everything was good, and karban todah is chametz. So specifically, you would think when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they should have chametz, because that's the celebratory bread, right? If not everyone's a spiritual as Ralph. So if you want to celebrate, you have chametz. Why they have matzah when they were about to be redeemed? Says the Rav Yoel Ben Nun as follows. Were they redeemed completely right away? No. No. In fact, the reason we eat matzah is why? What happened to the Jews? They were forced out of Egypt. They were forced out of Egypt. The Egyptians kicked them out. They had to run. They didn't have time to deodorize. Meaning, redemption, ge'ula, doesn't always happen completely right away. Redemption is a process. It's a slow, gradual, often difficult process. In fact, when were the Jews finally redeemed? Matan Torah. Ah, well, he says even after that they weren't redeemed. Only when they got the Torah. That's the last cup, right? And you could even say they weren't redeemed totally until they got to Eretz Yisrael. But at least the first part of redemption only happens they get the Torah. Shavuot. And on Shavuot we have chametz, by the way. That's the Shtei Alechem. So Pesach is about the idea that the redemption actually wasn't complete. Here, you can look at the last paragraph, which I did translate for you. He says, Iker in Yano Shachag Azeh, Hachagu Azara Hachamura. The main point of the holiday of Pesach is the severe warning against the illusion of complete redemption at once. And again, you can appreciate Rabbi Yoel ben Nun's context as a modern Zionistic biblical commentator saying redemption doesn't all come at once. Why don't we have chametz on Pesach? Because you shouldn't have the expectation that the complete geula comes all at once. As if the leaving of Shavuot is at hand, right? As if, all right, we're going to get chametz of Shavuot. No. Right of Passover is precisely the expectation of the immediate leaving. A natural of his pain to redeem people. The Jews might have wanted it all at once, but they didn't get that. And that's not how it goes. That is the background of the severity of the prohibition and its exclusions in the scriptures and the halakha generations. The unleavened bread eaten on the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Chag Matzos, expresses the true redemption for all hardships, a continuous redemption made in stages. Matzah represents the fact that Geula doesn't happen all at once. It takes time. It takes the process. You're going to have to run out of Egypt, then they're going to be ran into the sea, and then God's going to have to split the sea, and there's going to be trials and tribulations, and no water, and no food, until they finally, 7 weeks later, get to Shavuot. That's why on Pesach we don't eat matzah, and that's on Shavuot, this Karmas Shealecha, and then we finally experience a complete redemption. Then we get to Yechametz. Okay, that's part one, or sure this evening. So I'll pause this for now. Let's eat a little bit of Shulint.